Have you ever heard of the gospel track, Steps to Peace with God? Well, that's what we're going to take a look at on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're continuing in our series on gospel tracks. Today, we're taking a look at a well-known gospel track, one that you might have heard of. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are exploring popular evangelical tracks to try to figure out what salvation message do these tracks communicate. Are they communicating that salvation is by faith, apart from works in Jesus for eternal salvation? Or are they communicating something completely different? Well, what do you think, Dr. Bob?
Yeah, Dr. Bob, that's the first time in a long time I've heard that one. It seems to me that, and we haven't gone over some clear tracks. I have some clear ones we'll go over, but we've been going through some that are very popular and pretty confusing. And yes, it seems to me what happens with a lot of these tracks is the effort is to give a message that pretty much is going to appeal to most evangelicals. Something that they think, yeah, that's what I think a person needs to do to be saved, so I could use that booklet.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a message that mentions a whole lot of verses. Typically, most tracts mention 5-10 verses, maybe more, but they really don't explain any of them. And when they get to the end, they have some things you have to do to be born again, more than faith in Christ.
Right. I have a friend who has Asperger's, and he talks about every once in a while what'll happen is he does what he calls an info dump, and you can feel it happening. He's about to over-explain something. He knows he's losing people, but he just can't help himself, and he calls that an info dump. And that's what a lot of these tracks do. They come to the end, and instead of just saying, believe in Jesus, they start adding 7, 8, 9, 10 different conditions of
right.
things you need to be saved. Then you say a prayer, and that has even more conditions into it. And it's not just by faith anymore. It's this jumble of experience and emotions and mystical elements and promises to do better and hopes for the future. And it's just a whole bunch of different conditions.
The whole message gets garbled.
Yes.
These things are well-intentioned, but let me give you another one. A very, very famous one is from the ministry of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
All right.
And it's called Steps to Peace with God. And by the way, in my opinion, Billy Graham, if you study him, I think was clear on the faith alone message in the mid-40s, late 40s. It wasn't until...
So for about 2 years.
Yeah. No, probably up until about the mid-50s, he started changing his message and started bringing in... That became the big impetus for Catholics to be considered evangelicals. Ever since about, I don't know, late 50s, Billy Graham wasn't quite the same anymore. But there was a time when the fundamentalists were very much behind Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
In any regard, here's step one. God's purpose is that you might have peace and life. Well, that's pretty similar to what the four spiritual laws says.
Mm-hmm.
They quote Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then they quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that's good, but there's no explanation given. It's just what keeps us from having the life that God plans for us.
Well, I like the focus on life.
Right. So that's good. And then they say the problem is our separation from God. And they quote Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's another good one. It's talking about everlasting life.
And it's a gift.
And it says people have tried to bridge this gap between themselves and God. And so they quote various verses to say we really can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it ourselves. So that's good. And then they go to point three. And their third point is that God has bridged the gap. It says God's bridge, the cross. And so the point is the cross bridges the gap between God and man. And they quote 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So this is terrific.
Yeah.
All this so far is fine. Then he says our response, and here's where the oops comes in. Receive Christ.
Okay, receive Christ.
Okay, now receive Christ could be explained as believing in him.
I mean, in John 1:12, it's a metaphor for believing, right?
But
as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So if you're wondering, how do I receive Christ? Well, John says it's by believing. Is that what they say?
Well, they quote John 1:12 that you just quoted, and then they quote Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So now they have two conditions of salvation, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. And this is one of the reasons that a lot of the Graham Crusades, they would say, come down, confess Christ publicly so you can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
The buses will wait. And it's like that's one of the conditions of salvation. But so far, it's not too confusing. But it goes on. Here is how you can accept Christ into your life. One, admit your need.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner. Okay. Two, be willing to turn from your sins. Repent. Oops. Where'd that come in?
Wait. So do I have to turn or I'm just willing?
Well, according to that's interesting because it sounds like you only have to be willing. Of course, we haven't looked at any verses yet that said you had to be willing or turn or anything else. They just dropped this in.
So I got to at least be willing to stop doing the bad thing and maybe start doing the right thing.
Right. And which bad thing? Is it all of them?
Yeah, just the big ones?
Yeah. And then it says, believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. Okay. Then through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to control your life through the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
Oops.
Oh, yeah.
And they define that as receiving him as Lord and Savior. So now you have to invite him to control you.
It's by praying to invite to control.
Right. And where do we find that in the Scripture?
Where is that in John
3:16?
Yeah.
And so then they have a suggested prayer.
All right.
Why don't you read the suggested prayer? Yeah.
Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin and that he raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord. From this day forward, guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Doesn't that mix together sanctification
and
justification?
I mean, following and all that stuff. And it doesn't really tell you the kind of salvation that Jesus gives.
Right.
You know, they've emphasized life. But here, at the crucial moment where, by their own admission, they're hoping that the person will come here and pray this prayer, they don't mention anything about the life that Jesus gives.
Right. Now, let me say, look, I've met people who've come to faith in Christ through the ministry of Billy Graham, whether at a crusade or through one of these booklets. I'm not saying a person can't grasp that simply by faith in Christ, they're saved once and for all. They have everlasting life once and for all. Apart from commitment, apart from submitting their life, apart from turning from their sins, apart from confessing Christ, just by believing in him. But if that happens, it's because they're singing out part of what the booklet says or part of what Billy Graham said in his crusades and not listening to a lot of the things that are written or said.
Right.
This overall presentation in Steps to Peace with God is confusing.
Right. I mean, where did this idea that you need to say a sinner's prayer to be born again come about? Because that is what people are going to take from this.
Oh.
It's not enough to believe. I have to say this sinner's prayer.
Okay, I have an idea, but you're more knowledgeable on church history than I am. But Finney popularized the Sawdust Trail. What Billy Graham did, and before him, Billy Sunday, going back to Finney, was they started these revival meetings, and they would invite people they wanted to be born again to come to these meetings. They literally put sawdust down in these tents, and they would have people come forward and give their life to Christ, yield their life, commit, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if tracts came out around that time that had sinner's prayers or not. Are you familiar with Finney's ministry?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with his ministry, but I don't know about the sinner's prayer part of it. I know he invented the whole come to the front. You have to take that step. You know, you have to act a literal step. You know, you have to get up and actually. He invented all of that because he was a pragmatist and he felt like he couldn't really get a commitment from a person unless he made them do something.
Right.
And that's where all of this raise your hand with every head bowed and raise your hand and come to the front and sign a card and probably say a sinner's prayer too, but I don't know for sure.
Right.
But all of that is tradition. It's all man-made tradition that was added relatively recently,
right,
a couple hundred years ago, and has nothing to do. I mean, when Jesus was evangelizing Martha, although she probably already believed at that point, he didn't make her kneel or go to a sinner's bench or say a sinner's prayer. He just said, listen, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Right.
And her simple answer was yes. It was so simple. And we really need to get back to simple evangelism.
Maybe I could make an illustration with politics. When a politician, when they're talking, they're trying to convince people of their view of reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when they tell us about taxes, or when they tell us about the military, or they tell us about education or healthcare or whatever it is,
yeah,
their number one goal is to convince us of what they consider the truth, right?
Right.
Now, whether we vote for them or not is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
They want to convince us. And their job is to convince. What we need to realize is that's what Jesus did.
Mm.
He didn't go out and say, okay, I'm going to tell you this. Now, here's the five steps you need to take to be born again.
Right.
He just told them the truth and moved on.
And then just left it. Left
there was no invitation.
It's like, here's the football. The person has it. And Jesus is like, okay.
Yeah. And so he would say, he who believes in me has everlasting life. There's only one occasion, really, where he gives any kind of invitation, and that's with Martha. You already mentioned it. Do you believe this? So, and even that, she's already a believer. He knows she believes. But at any point, when we're talking to people today, if we're going to follow the Lord's example, or the same example was followed by the apostles, then we shouldn't be asking them to make a decision, to pray a prayer, to walk an aisle, to raise a hand, to sign a card. We should just be saying, look, if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. If you don't, you don't.
So it's not a high-pressure sale.
No.
It's a very soft sell.
And we're not selling anyway. We're just
it's
telling.
It's a soft give.
Yeah, yeah. We're telling it. Well, God does the giving. We do the telling. One of the things I did like about my time on Campus Crusade for Christ, they said we share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results up to God. That's a good point.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. Radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to talk about what makes a gospel tract a clear gospel message. So you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.